Welcome back to Sports Talk here on the Big 870. Mike Dottiglia along with Cullen Steele in studio. Steve Geller will join us at 5:45 for our triple option feature. At a little after 5:20, we'll have on with us from BetMGM and Odyssey Betting Insider Brad Evans on his take on the games this coming weekend. Good news from the Saints front. Chris Olave, Pete Werner, Cesar Ruiz, Colin Saunders, Taysom Hill, Lucas Patrick, all at practice today.
At practice. Not at practice.
How about that?
How about practice?
So not out. At. And that's the key word. And, again, who missed? Derek Carr with the oblique injury. And also Nick Saldiveri with a shoulder injury. No shocker there. I mean, Nick, he can't stay healthy for nothing, basically. I mean, it's been an injury-plagued career since he left college. Let's go to our Oakland Heart Jewelers talking text line. Let's go to Bart and Gentile. Bart, you're in the huddle with Mike and Cullen. Almost called you Burt Jones. I'll tell you why. Somebody interviewed me this morning about Burt, and it stuck in my mind. So when I saw the, I had to correct myself a little bit. But, Bart, you got the stage, brother.
Yeah, thank you for taking my call, Mike. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can. Yes.
Okay, yeah. So is there any truth to Bryce Underwood being offered $4 million to stay, because he's from Michigan, to go to University of Michigan, the Wolverines? Because he's already committed to LSU. He's the number one quarterback in the country.
Yeah. I don't know about the $4 million, but I have watched Michigan play this year. They terrible at quarterback. So whatever offer they made before he committed to LSU, you better up it up. Listen, I think that is going to be till the bitter. I know he has said, I'm committed to LSU. I'm not looking anywhere else. I'm going to LSU. But, man, with out-of-state guys, that's sometimes a little iffy. And he's the number one rated player in the country. And he plays the premium position. I would think Michigan is not going to just let him walk without a real strong offer his way. So to answer your question, I don't know about the $4 million. I don't know how anybody would know that particular part from a financial standpoint. But I do suspect whatever they offered him when he committed to LSU, Michigan, they've upped that offer. Because I have seen what they play in that quarterback. It's not good. And, man, you would hate to lose the top player in your state at the premium position and the biggest need you have to come to LSU. But I understand Bryce's part. Man, I have watched Joe Burrow at LSU. I did watch Jaden Daniels at LSU. I'm watching Garrett Nussmeier at LSU. There's some recruiting developed there. So I would think Michigan is going to battle this with LSU to the bitter end. And, you know, and LSU understands when you in with a guy like that, that you better get dead presidents on paper straight, too.
Yeah. What is that, Boosters, Mr. Tertullia, that does that?
Say again?
Boosters.
Yeah, come on, guys. They got people that want to help the school, and it was illegal. They still did it years ago. Okay, they still did it. But, it's not legal. Okay, it's not legal to, with the NIL situation. And when you look at what Arch Manning got, you know, when he went to Texas and his deal, and that's just going to be more and more, Bart, we're going to hear about it. It is, it's not longer our daddy and grandpa's world. It's a different world.
Yes, sir.
And so,
if
I was Auburn, I'd maybe go that $4 million route because, good gracious, do they need a quarterback in the worst way? But so does Michigan. So I think that story will play out until signing day in Michigan in December. I think it'll play out.
Thank you for taking my call, sir.
Thank you so much, Bart. Really do appreciate it. We'll go to break, and we come back. We'll have on with us Brad Evans from Odyssey Sports, also BetMGM, right after this break here on the Big 870. WWL. Back here on Sports Talk on the Big 870, Mike Dottiglia along with Cullen Steele in studio. Before we go to Brad Evans, Christian Clark has broke some news, Cullen, about Zion tonight.
Yes, sadly, Christian Clark over for NewOrleans.com said that Zion Williamson and Willie Green just spoke a couple minutes ago to the press. Zion Williamson is out tonight. DeJounte Murray and Jose Alvarado are on track to play. They were previously game time decisions. It looks like they're going to play. That is good news. Sucks that Zion's out. He's dealing with an illness. We don't know what. Could just be, you know, sniffles. Who knows? But he will not play tonight.
All right. Thanks for finding that pretty quick. I appreciate that. Let's go to our Oakland Heart Jewelers talking text line. And on the line is the host of BetMGM Tonight and Odyssey Sports BetQL, insider Brad Evans. BetQL insider calls are presented by BetMGM. Go check out all of the latest lines today on the BetMGM app. Also, be sure to listen to the BetMGM Tonight podcast. For more analysis, just search BetMGM Tonight wherever you find your podcast. Brad, thanks so much for joining me this afternoon, brother. How you been?
Hola, amigos. I am splendid. I am spectacular, and I'm ready to rock. Hope you guys are well.
We're doing well, Brad. Got any thoughts about tonight's game, Pelicans and Bulls?
Yeah, well, the Bulls, we'll see what version that we get out of the gate here to start the season. A team that really sloughed down the home stretch, man, to say the least. Oh, man, massively. You know, there's some, I think, continuity and cohesive issues there. And we don't know if this team is going to be even decent defensively. Obviously, with Zach LaVine, Ayo Dosunmu now running the point. I mean, they have a pretty good backcourt. They have some stout defenders when they want to play an A-level of defense. I know New Orleans has some of the issues. Again, that Zion news right before tip has shaved off a point and a half from the spread. It wasn't 6 earlier today with the Pels, now down to 4.5. I just don't trust the Bulls. I live 2 hours south of Chicago. I'm very familiar with the team. I'm not necessarily a fan, but I think Chicago will come stumbling out of the gate yet again. Give me New Orleans. I'll lay the chalk.
We'll start with Saturday's game. LSU, Texas A&M. This is sort of, Brad, like a playoff game already.
Yeah.
In the season, because of the way both started with losses. And then they've kind of hit their stride a little bit. Now, College Station, you play in the Aggies. Your thoughts, Texas A&M, LSU.
Yeah, I was going to be nip and tuck. This game feels like it's going to come down to final possession, quite frankly. I know the hook is in play here with TAMU, favored by 3.5. And I think Captain Hook, yar, shiver me timbers, may come into play here. I like the Tigers plus the points. Looking at some of the advanced data that is out there, again, LSU number 70 EPA offense, number 29 EPA defense. Texas A&M, a balanced team in their own right, but number 22 in offense and 19 nationally in defense. My friends at College Football Insiders have this projected with the Tigers winning 26.11 to 25.39. So if you're a numbers nerd like I am and you're really leaning into some of the advanced data, matching up with the eye test, I think LSU is going to keep this one nip and, you know, tight and snug from start to finish. They may ultimately sneak one out here. I think it's going to be really close. That's why I like them on the plus 3.5, though I will stay away because I'm a bit too scared on LSU on the money line.
I got you. Notre Dame Navy. Cullen and I were talking about this off the air. I think it opened at 13, is 12.5, something in that range. And I've talked to different college coaches about when you play Navy. Okay, there's only one other team like them, and that's Army. And you got a couple days to kind of get your team ready for what they want to do. Now, I do know one thing with Navy. They throw the football more than Army does. But you know what you're going to get out of them. Notre Dame got caught a napping early in the season. I don't think you catch them napping against Navy. But your thoughts on this being – a game that I thought it would be more like 9.5, 10. Now it's 12.5 with the Irish favorite.
Yeah, look, I think it's too many points, quite frankly. You know, Navy always a unique team to try to prepare for, given the run-heavy style. But this is a different iteration of the midshipmen. They're one that does actually have some balance as a military academy. I mean, usually Air Force has really dominated the narrative among the military academies the last few years, but they're rubbish this season. Army's actually ranked. They're more run-centric than Navy is, a team that can throw the ball. Blake Horvath a guy that's completed 63.9% of his attempts or over 880 yards on the year. So they do have a tendency to pass, and when they do have a ton of success in that, right, you know, what version of Notre Dame are you going to get? Are you going to get the Northern Illinois version was stunned and had them in a state of dismay, or one that's going to be highly competitive and indicative of their national ranking? I think 12.5 points is way too high in my estimation. I know Notre Dame is number 3 in EPA defense. Navy, though, top 15 in the country in EPA offense. They will keep this one nip and tuck. I think they lose by around 7 to 10 points. I will take them plus a 12.5.
All right. Tulane, North Texas. The one thing I do know about North Texas, they can score points, but they terrible on defense. Tulane had almost a snore game for three quarters against Rice and then sort of woke up in the fourth quarter. Your thoughts on this? Because it's over a touchdown favorite for the Green Wave.
Yeah, it's kind of crazy to me that the spread is that high. I think North Texas is going to keep this one a lot tighter than at least the odds makers are suspecting. Again, look at some of the EPA data that is out there. Tulane, one of the most balanced teams in the country, not getting a whole lot of pub. They're top 40 in offense and top 40 in EPA defense. The area where North Texas is not so mean, the green on defense, they're number 119 in the country in EPA per play defense, but a very good offensive team in terms of the advanced metrics. So it's going to come down to, is this going to be a high-scoring affair? Yes, it will be. I'd probably lean to the over in this game more than anything else, but if you want to play the standard side, I do like North Texas to get like a garbage time touchdown and secure the cover. I mean, the over-under in this game in the mid-60s, yeah. it might finish in like the mid-70s, to be honest with you. Could be like first to 45 wins.
Brad, it won't be 17-14 when it's over with. I can guarantee you that. Cullen, go ahead. You got one for
it. We're switching up to the NFL here, Brad. Mike told me this earlier before we got the show started. I was kind of surprised to see it. I mentioned that there's not really a lot of good games. We're not getting, you know, Titans. We're not getting Texans-Packers and Lions-Vikings that we had last weekend. We're getting three games where the spread is at or above 10 with a fourth teetering on that. Do you think there is any validity in those? Do you think all of them are going to be blowout? I'm going to give you them real quick. Chiefs at Raiders. Chiefs are favored by 10. Panthers in Denver against the Broncos. Broncos are favored by 10. You've then got the Titans traveling to the Lions, who look incredible right now. Lions are favored by 11.5. And then the Ravens traveling to Cleveland, 9-point favorite against the Browns.
Brad, you don't see that every week. Brother, you might see that in college. You don't see that in the NFL.
No, you don't. You see a lot of single-digit spreads. Very rare that you get a whole host of double-digit and strong favorites. But as we've seen over the course of the year, those double-digit favorites have failed and failed miserably to cover the spread, or they have outright lost at just an astronomical rate. Now, looking at these matchups, I don't see how any of the heavy underdogs bring the upset. I mean, Cleveland's just woeful right now. Maybe the quarterback change going from Deshaun Watson, Jameis Winston will spark that offense. That might be one I could see the Browns hanging in at, so I might lean on them covering the spread, especially the Rub-A-Dub-Dub and the Chubb Club back open for business against the Baltimore Ravens, a team that has really struggled on the defensive back end. Detroit should run roughshod over the Titans, sounding like Mason Rudolph is going to be at the controls over Will Levis. Vegas got no shot against Kansas City, and it sounds like as well that the newly acquired wide receiver from Tennessee, DeAndre Hopkins, is going to be on the field, a true X wideout and a major upgrade. I think this arsenal for a struggling quarterback, I can't believe I'm saying that with Patrick Mahomes, as his overall statistical output way down compared to career previous marks. And then Denver, they've been a really kind of a sleeping giant away. I mean, you guys saw it last week. They throttled this thing from beginning to end. I know it was kind of a mishmash unit out there for New Orleans, but they get Carolina, the Hello Kitties from Charlotte. They're not defending worth a damn right now. Bo Nix and Javonte Williams, that combo, quarterback and running back, should have a monster game. So I guess the only team I give a puncher's chance of springing the upset, dare I say, the Cleveland Browns?
I don't. You can bet your money on that.
Yeah,
it wouldn't be mine.
I'm not going to join you on that one after Monday. No.
it wouldn't be. Saints-Chargers. And a lot of people were, Monday night we were doing a show, and a lot of people thought the under might be the play here. But that's went up now. I think it was like 39.5. Now it's up to 40.5. The Chargers, 7.5-point favorite over the Saints. And they're finally getting some good news from an injury standpoint of people getting back to the lineup. So your thoughts, and the Chargers, 16 straight offensive possessions, no touchdowns.
Yeah, you know what that means? Better the kicker market when you're looking at the LAC team. Dicker the kicker is a guy that's just been a money-making machine if you've been betting the over 1.5 field goals made, which is a standard prop for place kickers in the NFL. I like the under here, guys, at 40.5. I think points are not going to be plentiful. I think it's going to be a bit of an uphill battle for both these teams to really score and score early and often. Now, you might say because of the leakiness of the New Orleans Saints defensively, maybe Justin Herbert's going to have a lot of success vertically. Maybe get Quentin Johnson on the field, Ladd McConkey, a guy who could do some dirty work underneath. You ride J.K. Dobbins, and maybe they hang like 24 in this game. Okay, that's great. Well, how many points is New Orleans really going to score with Spencer Rattler back under center? And again, this mishmash unit, they are trotting out there. Alvin Kamara's not even healthy. He's been playing with a broken hand, for crying out loud. And LAC, number one in EPA per play defense in the National Football League. They are very tight in the trenches. They're excellent on the back end as well in terms of their coverage. I think they're going to be like white on rice in this game. I think New Orleans is going to be lucky to score even like 7 to 10 points. So ultimately, the best bet on the board, in my opinion, not so much the 7.5. I'm afraid of Captain Hook on the standard spread, but I do like the under on the 40.5. It could be another field goal kicking contest with Kicker the Dicker.
Yeah, I kind of agree with you on that one. Falcons, Buccaneers. The Bucs are not the same team. Without Godwin, without Mike Evans, Jalen McMillan and Shepard, and, come on. Going up against the Falcons, they got blown out last weekend. That was an ugly loss to Seattle. Your thoughts, Atlanta, Tampa Bay?
Man, it was a shootout last time we saw this game, right? Yeah. Kind of insane in the membrane. They're the ATL from beginning to end. Of course, Kirk Cousins throwing a frozen rope in overtime to get the victory. It's going to be more of the same. What really impressed me with Tampa in that game, even though they got slaughtered, was the running back play. They're gone to a full-blown RBBC. Everybody looked good. Rashad White made plays as a runner and definitely as a receiver, pair of touchdowns in that game. I know a lot came in garbage time, but still impressive when the game was competitive. Sean Tucker had some violent runs of Bucky Irving, a guy, and get appreciable yak as well. And that could be the calling card for the Buccaneers in this game. They're going to have to lean on that triumvirate at running back, and all those guys can be scoring duelists. They can do it with the legs. They can do it with the hands as well. And with Chris Godwin out, Mike Evans out, Jalen McMillan, it looked like to be your number one guy. Kate Otten can inflict some damage. Don't underestimate the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, though they are walking wounded. I think there's still enough weapons on this team to be competitive. The only question you got to worry about defensively, great is Vita Vea in the trenches, but on the back end, holy mackerel.
I agree with that.
Yeah, you gave up 5 passing touchdowns to Lamar Jackson. That's an area of concern, especially given the fact that Kirk Cousins shredded them in that first game. So I think it's still going to be tighter than most people feel. Tampa will hang tough despite all the losses they have had at wide receiver.
I got a text about Vikings-Rams. He always texts me, so I think he's got a few nickels on this game. Minnesota Vikings, Rams, Vikings 3-point favorite. Your thoughts on Thursday night games? And we've seen some weird stuff here on Thursday night on games that short week, how coaches handle it. The Rams have had a ton of injuries all across the board that a lot of talk. And when it comes from national people, Brad, I think the Rams leaked that out about trying to trade Cooper Kupp. That wasn't pulled from the sky. It's too many people that were on that particular maybe deal, and I think they were putting it out there to see if they could get a nibble on Cooper Kupp. But your thoughts, Vikings, Rams, Thursday night.
Yeah, is it a showcase game for Cooper Kupp there in prime time at an island matchup taking on the Minnesota Vikings? I think the LA Rams are open to a deal on Kupp. If somebody comes and backs up the truck and gives a high enough draft pick, they're willing to take on some of the salary there as well. They could be in sell mode. But this is a team that can still, move the football efficiently at times, especially on the ground there with Kyren Williams, who has scored a TD in every stinking game this year. Now, he's got a tough battle here as Minnesota's number one in the NFL in EPA per play defense, at least here over the last 5 weeks they've been in that category. And, of course, you got the almighty Justin Jefferson, as everybody knows, in your neck of the woods, a guy that's just unstoppable. And it's not like anybody on the Rams can hang tough with him. Maybe Kobe Durant can. He is top 25 and pass coverage grade according to Pro Football Focus. But Jefferson, all he does is get separation and make big plays down the field. Aaron Jones, I think, will be the difference maker in this game for Minnesota. I would lean the Vikings here, laying the chalk. It seems like a very public play, but the Rams are woeful defensively, number 30 in the NFL and EPA per play defense, and they're especially vulnerable and susceptible on the ground. So Aaron Jones could be the reason why Minnesota cruises to an easy cover in the City of Angels.
Brad, thanks so much for joining us this afternoon. Always love to have you on. Love your energy too, brother. You bring it, and I give you full credit for that.
Oh, muchas gracias, mi amigo. Hey, guess what? I need a cup of coffee. I'm out.
All righty. Thank you, Brad. Appreciate it. That was the host of BetMGM Tonight and Odyssey Sports BetQL Insider, Brad Evans. BetQL Insider calls are presented by BetMGM. Go check out all of the latest lines today on the BetMGM app. When we come back, Steve Geller will join us for Triple Option right here on the Big 870 WWL right after this break. Back here on Sports Talk on the Big 870, Mike DeTellier along with Cullen Steele. Steve Geller joins us for our Triple Option feature, and I've got a couple of people text about, you were going to talk about Fernando. So that's my Triple Option. And Fernando Valenzuela kind of growing up. We close to the same age, a little bit older than Fernando, but, man, just think about it. In 1981, and just how good he was, and wins his first 8 starts, 5 of them shutouts for the Dodgers, and becomes the only player to win Rookie of the Year and Cy Young. And then the Dodgers win the World Series. Man, he had that screwball, left-hander, threw that screwball, and, man, that thing rolled all over the place. And, man, he had so many people confused with it, went on to pitch 17 years in the majors and not only with the Dodgers, but with 5 other teams. But he had some shoulder injuries throughout his career. But just a great guy. Put the spark back in baseball. Covering baseball was different, and watching it was different. You didn't have 5,000 cable channels to watch on. So you were watching this sort of highlight-wise. And, you know, he grew up in Mexico, and to do this in Los Angeles, and he had such a backing. And, Steve, you'd appreciate this. And I told this to Cullen. Man, who used to come watch? Because he was a big Tommy Lasorda. Him and Tommy were partners in life. Frank Sinatra comes out to watch.
Old blue eyes.
Fernando Valenzuela. Well, you should know. You're from Jersey. He's from Hoboken. Tragic loss for him. And, well, when you hear, and he had said it a few weeks back that he had liver cancer, man, that ain't good. And so God bless him and his family, so many friends, and just great memories of younger days for me, younger days certainly when he pitched. But he was really a phenomenon at that time. The only other guy that I could say from a pitching standpoint, and I saw it in the mid-70s, it was Mark Fidrich, the Bird.
Yeah.
And I remember Sports Illustrated had a deal. He was on the cover with Big Bird from Sesame Street. And he was sort of flaky. He did all kind of goofy things on the mound and stuff. But Fidrich had that for a little while, too. But Fernando, 20 years old, cool as a cucumber on the mound. And, man, the whole world's watching, so to speak. I mean, he got it done. So, man, God bless him. Some great, great memories from me watching Fernando. A lot of it was highlights, and you get to see it today, a little bit more of it. But and also from people who knew him, that he was a great guy in life.
Picking back off of what you're saying, Mike, I'm talking about the World Series for this season starting on Friday. Of course, when you've got the New York Yankees and the LA Dodgers involved, right now on the secondary market, they're saying the most expensive World Series to date right now. Looking at some of the prices, Game 1 in Dodger Stadium, $1,133, the average ticket price. Game 2, $1,258. Then you get to New York, the prices go up even more. Yankee Stadium, Game 3, $1,547. After that, $1,497, $1,583, and so on.
I hope I'm like Costanza. I'm sitting right next to the dugout, right?
Right, average ticket prices. So you can imagine some of these are probably like standing room only that you're just getting in for a grand right now to see this game. But we knew going into this, we kind of joked, man, the Major League Baseball folks, they are hoping and praying that the New York Yankees end up playing the LA Dodgers. Oh. Well, they got their wish. Unfortunately for the fans now, they're the ones that have to pay the price for these tickets.
I told Charlie, who hated this, I mean, because he hated the Dodgers. I told him, I said, Charlie, watch, the Dodgers are finally going to make it. I'm telling you, when you accumulate that much talent,
right,
eventually you're going to get there. And, boy, it rolled for them. And unfortunately for him, the Astros, that was a quick knockout. So, Cullen?
All right, guys, you can tell we're in October when we have three things for triple option, and none of them are football, because I'm going with the NBA. Did either of you guys watch the Celtics last night?
Domination.
I saw that. That was unreal.
Unreal.
To hit those three-pointers time after time after time, I'm like, good gracious.
29 out of 61, that ties the NBA record for most three-pointers made in a game. It doesn't break the record or even come close to breaking the record for attempts. That's with the Rockets in 2019, who had set it with 70. But here's my prediction. That number, that 30, that premier 30, we will see that sometime this year. I think a team will do it. That's the modern NBA. It's three-point shots. You see that tonight
with the
Pelicans.
Might be the Celtics do it.
You'll see that tonight with the Pelicans. The whole, like, you know, Willie Green wants to hit 40 a game. I mean, last night, Celtics attempted 61, Knicks 30, the Lakers 30, and the Timberwolves 41.
Well, how about Anthony Davis? I know he ain't the most popular dude in this city, yeah, but boy, did man, at times you say, wow. He took over that game last night. That wasn't in a lot of things, certainly, with LeBron playing with his son, Bronny, and that sort of moment. But really, the story was Anthony Davis.
They said on the broadcast, I was watching it last night, they said on the broadcast that J.J. Redick came out and said that they want the offense to run through Davis. Not LeBron, definitely not Bronny, Davis.
Well, I hope it ain't Bronny they're running it through. But God bless him. He got to play with his dad.
That's a moment you can't take away from anybody.
Yeah, but, man, Anthony Davis was on last night. Now, again, he's sort of like Zion. How many games will he play?
Right.
Because he always seems to have a hitch in the giddy-up injury-wise. We'll be back to finish it off here in hour number two of Sports Talk on the Big 870 WWL right after this break. Finishing up here at hour number two of Sports Talk on the Big 870, I want to thank Brad Evans from BetMGM for joining us in hour number two. Also, Jen Hale for joining us in hour number one to talk Pelicans and NFL.
Go Pels.
And tonight, right here on the new station of the New Orleans Pelicans, starting at 6:30. Pre-game, Pelicans, Chicago Bulls, and then tip-off at 7 p.m. tonight on the Big 870 WWL. Also, too, tomorrow, Steve and I will be at the Treasure Chest Casino in Kenner for our weekend kickoff. Come talk to us there if you get a chance, and also give us a call and ask questions. Come hang out with Steve and I at Treasure Chest in the Game Bar and Grill tomorrow, 4 to 7. Treasure Chest is located on Kenner's Lakefront area on the banks of Lake Pontchartrain, right off Williams Boulevard. You can't miss it. If you've been to the one that when it was on the water, we right before the water now. We're on the land. So, Steve, an exciting moment because Pels back on WWL, and glad to have him back on.
Definitely, and hopefully they can get the W tonight. Obviously, we know no Zion Williamson, unfortunately, dealing with that illness, but DeJounte Murray is expected to be a go, as well as Jose Alvarado for this team. You don't want to be too shorthanded, obviously, in your opener. A little dismaying to see Zion not taking part, but I mentioned this yesterday, at least he's not dealing with an injury. It's just an illness right now, so get well, Zion, and be back in action, hopefully Friday night in Portland.
Even better news is the Saints Steve will get more into that. We talked about it twice from 4 to 6 about getting some of those players back healthy. Gives you a fighting chance on the road against the L.A. Chargers. We'll be back with more sports talk here on the Big 870 WWL right after this news break.